Everything you are, everything you want to do, and everything you will do. I thank you for helping us to get out of our own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I was thinking, and that's already a dangerous thing right there, just the fact that I was thinking. This is going to be a really interesting year. And it's not about me making any type of predictions. Like my mom said earlier this morning, I also have no predictions about what this pandemic is going to do. I don't care to make any. But I feel like it's going to be a dangerous year, but not for the reasons that you might think. It has nothing to do with the pandemic at all. I feel like this year could be dangerous because I know in my heart God is starting to do some things for people. I know that there are going to be some career changes. I know that there are going to be some promotions. I know that some of the things that you've wanted, whether it be home, car, some of those things, I know that those things are going to start to happen this year. And that's why I think that it could be a dangerous year. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes some of my most challenging moments have come on the tail of when everything I felt was going so well. When my money was right, and I was confident in what I was doing. I was confident in my career. Shortly thereafter, it's like the big rug was just like swept up and I was flat on my back. The problem is sometimes when God starts to do things, especially, I'll just say natural things in our lives, whether it be money, career, home, there has been a tendency, and I'm not going to look at any of y'all, I'm just going to talk about myself. There has been a tendency for me to be confident in that. But confidence in myself is miles different than confidence in God. Amen. Not only did I get confident with what I was doing, I started to get a false sense of security. I think whether you play sports or not, I think one of the most vulnerable positions to be in is to be confident in your own ability, so much to say that you do not prepare for what lies ahead. And I know that God, again, is going to do a lot this year, a lot of things we've been waiting for. I just hope that we're prepared for it. I was just randomly looking at some stuff. I look at a lot of random stuff. And I was looking at a video about the Titanic. I found out a lot of stuff. I looked at several videos about the Titanic. And I have a question. And you can, you know, I like to dialogue a bit sometimes up here, but when I say Titanic, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? And don't out-scientific yourself, just keep it simple. Right. Yeah. What sank the Titanic? I can tell you, it wasn't the iceberg. Today's title is, It Ain't the Iceberg. The captain of the Titanic, his last name is Smith, first name Edward. Captain Edward Smith, the Titanic was not his first voyage. There were two other sister ships to the Titanic, very, very large ships. They were going back and forth. It was two cruise companies, and they were all vying to see who could get the biggest ship and who could be the most luxurious, whose ship could sail the fastest. And there was a ship built right before the Titanic by this cruise ship company. Huge ship. And it was called the Olympic. And Captain Smith had the, pleasure of sailing the Olympic. He was the captain. Well, something happened on one of his voyages with the Olympic. Another boat, some type of British maritime vessel or whatever, ran into the Olympic. Well, the good thing about the Olympic is, again, when you're trying to build the biggest, the best, so you will incorporate some thought into it, hopefully. So a lot of engineering went into it, whatever. So the Olympic took a hit from a vessel that was basically created to spear other ships and sink them. And it was an accident, I guess. I'm not really sure. Different thoughts on that. But anyway, the Olympic took the hit from a vessel designed to sink ships, and it survived. Not only did it survive, but it made it back safely. Everybody was straight. What they had done is, and this is really smart, at the bottom of the boat, they had a bunch of rooms, and all of these rooms were watertight. So it's just to say it was 10 of these rooms. So when it took the hit and it pierced the boat, water filled into one of those rooms, but the rooms are watertight. So what happens is the water wouldn't come into any of the other sections of the boat except for exactly where it was pierced at. The rest of the boat was safe, high and dry. So the Olympic took its time getting back to dock, getting repair work done, and it went on to go on several other voyages. So Captain Smith had a new opportunity. It's the biggest ship we've ever built, and it's the one that we know about, the one we're talking about today. It was a Titanic. So before the Titanic was even put into the water, there were a lot of things that were wrong. But because it was so grand, because they had sold all of the tickets to it, because all of the most wealthy people of the day had already cashed their tickets in and there was no turning back, a lot of things got overlooked. As we know, that voyage sat out, and again, as Captain Smith had already been on several of these voyages, he was used to sailing, you know, large cruise vessels, and he knew what it was like to take a hit. He knew what it was like to survive a hit. He knew what it was like to get everything and everyone back home safe. He overlooked some things this trip. And so we're led to believe it was the iceberg. But in fact, the Titanic was built with inferior materials. Instead of the steel that they had planned to use for the rivets, they used iron. Iron sounds hard. It is hard, but it is inferior to steel. Iron doesn't take cold very well, and it doesn't take heat very well. Whereas you would have something that you would take an impact and steel would flex, iron does not. The Titanic was never truly designed to take an impact. Another thing happened, and you'd think, well, as long as we don't expose the metal to any extreme heat, we're going to be fine. It will maintain the properties that it's supposed to have. Well, before the Titanic set sail, one of those chambers caught a fire, a coal fire. And there's some varying stories, but they fought that fire for 10 days. Just in this area of the ship. Well, once you put the fire out, you think, all right, it's all well and good. But they hid what had happened. They didn't let the passengers know what had happened. No big deal, the fire's out. But what happened is it actually weakened a whole section of the boat so that the metal would no longer do what it was supposed to do. Not only that, like I told you in the Olympic, they had the little chambers at the bottom designed to take water in, if need be. Well, they made the Titanic the same way. It works. The only difference is the owner was saying that he wanted this to be more luxurious than the Olympic. So let's build those chambers a little shorter and we'll add to the room and make the ceilings higher for all the occupants to have this grand, that it was actually modeled after the Ritz-Carlton. And as you also know, probably familiar with the lifeboat situation. They had half the number or a third of the number of lifeboats. Well, why? The owner said that too many lifeboats would ruin the views of the sea. It would ruin the views of the sky. But still no big deal. And that made me angry. However, it was up to code because for the size of the boat, they had calculated the number of lifeboats that they would need for that size ship, not based on the number of people, just the size of the boat. So they were okay. And the reason why I don't want to say afraid, but I'm a little bit cautious about this year is that I don't want to get caught up in what God is doing to where I'm not prepared for what God is doing. I don't want to just be along for the ride. I don't want things to be so good that I end up kind of being lulled to sleep. Like you said, this wake up. I don't want to be lulled to sleep by not only the wonderful things that God is doing in my life, but even what he's doing in all of our lives. That makes me happy. Like I get up on that. But I don't want this year to be like previous years. I don't want to get on the boat and just get so caught up in the grandeur of what God is doing. I don't want to get caught up in the furnishings. I don't want to get caught up in the material stuff to where I fall asleep at the wheel and I'm totally unprepared. You know, we were never, ever promised that things wouldn't come. See, when we run into a situation, it's not that God didn't promise you that situations wouldn't arise. What did he tell the disciples? Will you watch and pray with me? Jesus was at a very, very low point. The 26th chapter of Matthew. It's probably one of the lowest points spiritually that I've ever read about him having. You ever go through something and it just kind of not catches you off guard, but yeah, it might. But it's okay because you have so many people that you can go to. You've got a brother, you've got a sister, mother. And I recall maybe it has happened to you too. I recall going through some low points. And the first thing I wanted to do was not reach up, but I wanted to reach out. Oh, where's my brother? Where are my friends at? They didn't answer. And if they did answer, they couldn't give me the type of help that I needed, especially if it was financially. You know, they were going through stuff too. They didn't have it to give me. And then you go on and you get to a point where you start to blame the problems, but you've taken your eyes off of the fact that you weren't prepared to face. What were you doing that could have made this impact a little bit more absorbable and you could have gone on and been safe? What could you have done different? It's not, you ever have somebody call you and it's a bill collector and you mad at the bill collector? Like they did something wrong. Like you know you owe them and you owed the same thing 2 months ago. Why are you mad when they calling? They just doing a job. But now you cursing the bill collector. And you curse the cable company. I don't watch this no way, charging all this exorbitant amount of money. No, it's the amount of money that was on the contract that you signed to get the cable. They didn't raise the rates on you, you know. It's everybody else. It's everything else. It's my boss. Oh man, I don't get paid enough to do this. Oh yes, you do. You know why? Because you agreed to it. You said, they said, we want you to do A, B, and C, and we'll pay you D. And you were like, mm-hmm, yep. And 3 weeks in, now you can't stand anybody. You know, they cheapskates now, you know. I'm sorry they surprised you and took your, you know, they decreased your pay rate without you knowing. I'm sorry. The word says that count it joy when you fall into, you know, trials and tribulations, because it worketh patience. And I've heard this said before, it's not an if thing. It wasn't, oh man, if I go sailing, man, I better not hit any icebergs. No, biblically you will. They are there. And there is nothing you can do about them being there. There is nothing you can do about the presence of issues. There's nothing you can do about the presence of trials. There's nothing you can do about tribulations being around. Absolutely not. They're going to be there. But where, like you said, this, where will you be? When it happens, when the tempter came, not if. If Jesus couldn't avoid it, what makes you think we can? So when it happens, because it will, where will you be? And look at what Jesus is doing in the 26th chapter. He's getting prepared. He's feeling low. He reaches out to some buddies, his closest buddies. He told the other ones, you sit here. Y'all good. I just need a couple people to go with me, the closest people to me. And we know what they did. They fell asleep. All your calls don't get answered either when you're going through stuff. And they probably won't. So he says, well, and I want to bring attention to something that, and I just kind of saw this, but Jesus said the first time, after feeling low, after asking for help, not getting the support, he said, if it's possible that I don't have to go through this, let it be so. He prayed some more. Evidently, he hadn't gotten the relief that he needed. So the second time, it's phrased a little bit different. It's not, not if I can get out of this, please. Then it was like the second time he said, look, if this happens, how can I let it be possible for, you know what, but not my will, but your will be done. He went from, if it's possible for me to get out of it, to, if this thing has to happen, let your will be done. He prays again. He got no support. They fell asleep. His verbiage changed a little bit more. It's not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Then the mood changes again. And he says, instead of if at all possible, if I have to do this, let's go. He said, it's time to go.
Come on.
We've been here long enough. I done prayed and cried until the word says it looked like blood was dropping from my face. Let's go. I'm not worried about whether I can get out of it. I'm not worried about what I want to do. I figured out through prayer that this is not about my agenda. It was one thing for me to say it, but now I know it. It's time to go. What we need to do has to be done now. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to discuss it. We out of here. Jesus was trying to get them to prepare as well. And you all know, what did Peter say? Oh no, I'm gonna ride with you. I know you just said that I was going to deny you, but I'm telling you that that's not going to be the case. Peter meant that. But the problem was he wasn't prepared. When he was told to watch, he was told to pray, he was asleep. He wasn't prepared. Jesus was our example as far as, because it's not, guess what? That cross, that was predestined. It was going to happen. But he had to prepare himself for it. Just as, you know, in this coming year, it's going to be a lot of, I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot of good things that are going to happen. But I don't want to be derailed by those things. I don't want to be lulled to sleep, you know, on my own Titanic when everything looks great and I get blindsided and then I suffer loss that I didn't need to suffer. You know, and you ever try to give yourself credit for getting through something, for getting through a trial, but your attitude was still stank? You like barely made it. Like, man, you know, my boss came at me the other day, and man, I just sat on my hands and I clenched my teeth and I didn't answer him a word. You know, like I did a great job because I wanted to talk to him in an aggressive fashion. I'll just say that. I wanted to use some choice words, but I didn't. I kept my mouth shut and I just walked out. But is that really the victory that you want to be proud of? Did you really win? Because right now, can't nobody talk to you because your attitude stinks. Like, you got to go sit in the car and calm down on your entire lunch break. But the wild thing about it, and the most impressive thing, is that Jesus starts out extremely sorrowful. He's spiritually heavy. He explores the possibility of possibly getting out of it. Then he seems to be coming to grips with it. All right, if this is what has to happen, then he gets to the point where he's like, you know what? Let's go. I'm ready. But he even goes further, because when they came out to greet him, when he was going to be betrayed, when that time came, what did he say? Hey, friend. He saw Judas and he was like, friend. It takes a heck of an attitude adjustment. And I would venture to say that the only way you can have an attitude adjustment like that, from wanting to get out of it to seeing the person that's going to be a part of putting you through that thing, and the first thing you say is, friend, like, what's up? What are you doing here? You know, that was not the F word that came to mind. That I think I would have used a different F word in that situation. And I'm just going to say it wouldn't have been friend. It would have been foe. I don't, y'all's minds are going somewhere else. The word I would have used was foe, not friend. Foe, F-O-E. You know, Pastor Sheila said a lot of what I wanted to say and how I was feeling. And I want to be ready. I want to go into this year right. I don't want to be blinded by, you know, the lights the lights are good. The furniture's good. The cars are good. It's good to have a little money in your pocket. But it can be dangerous. It can be dangerous, because that's when a lot of us forget what the priorities are. You start to cruise along. Things are going well. You're enjoying life too much. And you've forgotten the source of the life that you have. And for me, it's just really that simple. I'm going to pray now. I pray that, Lord, through all the great things that you're about to do and going to do, even the progression of things that you've already started, Lord, I saw a lot of things that you did towards the end of last year. And I was like, wow, you know, but you're not done. And I know you're not. It's going to be even better. There's going to be even more. Even in the very building we are, it's going to be completed. We're moving forward. But I don't want to offer any praises to a building. I don't want to have any confidence in as much as I love our finance team, as much as I love these people here, as much as I love our tithers, I don't want to put any confidence in the finance team. I don't want to put my confidence in the fact that, you know, we have faithful tithers and that's how we're getting this thing done. Lord, let us not forget the you in all of this. Lord, let us not remember you like it's a memorial. Let us remember you in the sense that we still have to develop a deeper connection with you. Let us remember you in a sense that, yes, everything is going perfect or everything is going wonderful, but I still gotta meditate in your word night and day. I still got to pray every day. It says pray without ceasing. Even though I feel great, even though I got a good report from the doctor, you know what? That has nothing to do with you being God and me being created to serve and worship you. Whether I'm broke or I'm rich, I still have a job to do. You still have a plan for me. We're not out here by ourselves. Lord, please don't get us to a point where you got to snatch the rug up again. Lord, please don't. Yeah, we know that we will go through some things, but some lessons, Lord, I just hope we learned them. Lord, I don't want us to keep repeating stuff. Lord, let's deal with the new trials, not the same ones we were dealing with 5 years ago. New lessons. And Lord, I just ask that you would keep us. Lord, continue to draw us closer to you. Because sometimes, Lord, it ain't about how we're drawing to you. It's you drawing us in your way. It ain't something that we're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.